If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we'll be looking at three verses this morning, verses 37 to 39. If you would like to use one of the pew Bibles there beside you or in front of you, it should be on page 893. We're starting to wrap up John 7 this morning. It won't be the final ending to the conclusion to this chapter, but we're getting there. The next couple weeks we will shift gears with Easter. Next week's Palm Sunday, I believe I picked out the passage where, if you recall, there's Jesus on trial before Pontius Pilate. Pilate wants to release to the crowd one of the, it was a custom, he would release somebody back to the people, and before the people is the criminal. Barabbas, and Jesus. And obviously the crowd wants Jesus crucified. So that'll be coming next week on Monday, Thursday, to give you a little heads up. It'll be a little bit of a different service. I want to focus on the last seven sayings of Jesus while he's on the cross. And what it will look like, we'll look at each of the sayings, we'll do a brief meditation, and we'll response in prayer and song. And we'll just walk through them together and enjoy communion after that. And then for Easter Sunday, one of the resurrection passages. So that's what's coming in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be shifting gears for at least 2 weeks. So that's what's coming. This morning we're in John 7. Look at verses 37 and 39 with me. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This ends the reading of God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us. Lord, we have many thirsts that we try to fill in all the wrong ways. Jesus says, "Come. Come and drink, and everything can be different. It can be new, full of life, full of hope, not only changing us, but affecting those we come in contact. Lord, we need your Spirit to understand. We need your Spirit to believe. We need your Spirit to live. So Lord, we pray you would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. From the EPA website, Environmental Protection Agency, they have some interesting facts about water. They believe that there is the same amount of water on Earth today as there was when the Earth was first formed. I don't know how they know that, but that's what they believe. So technically, you could be drinking the same molecules that Adam and Eve drank. That's pretty amazing. Water is composed of two elements. What are they? Two elements. Hydrogen and oxygen. You knew that. You guys are smart. Maybe you don't know this. Nearly 97% of the world's water is salty, which means undrinkable. 97%. Another 2% is locked in the ice caps and glaciers, and that just leaves 1% of all the water that takes care of the needs of all humanity. All the agriculture, residential, manufacturing, community, and personal needs, 1% of the water. Water regulates the Earth's temperature. It regulates the temperature of the human body, carries nutrients and oxygen to cells, cushions the joints, protects organs and tissues, and removes waste. Our brains are 75% water. Mine's probably 90%. It doesn't function like it used to. A living tree is 75% water, which I didn't know. That was interesting. And your body is 60% water. You're mostly water. water is critically important. We probably appreciate it most in the summertime. After playing hard, after working hard, you're so, so thirsty, and water just quenches and rejuvenates like nothing else. On a hot day, perhaps some of you have a pool to jump into, or if you're fortunate enough, you can go to Idyllwild Soak Zone and have a fun time just splashing around in the water. It feels so good. In this passage, Jesus uses water as an object lesson to teach us just how important he is, just how essential he is to life. There is no one, there is nothing more vital in your life than the life-quenching work of Jesus Christ. Literally, without him, you are walking death. Without him, there is no peace. Without him, nothing can relieve your dry and weary soul. Jesus is the living water to your whole existence, to your whole being. If you remember back in John 6, Jesus called himself the bread of life. John Piper made the claim that he was convinced that God gave us bread for the sole purpose that Jesus could use that for an object lesson to show us how important Jesus is. I think we can make the same claim about water. Water was made by Jesus. Water was made for Jesus. And today we see him using water to help us understand how critically important he is to our lives. We will never be fully alive. We will be never completely filled up with overflowing contentment and peace until we jump into his well of eternal life. Jesus offers dry and weary souls that seek relief from the sins and miseries of this life, living water. He says, come. Come and drink. And water will just flow through you. How satisfying. How marvelous. How healing it can be to you and to those around you. Think of the most beautiful sight of water that you have. Maybe it's a brook in the woods, a river or a stream or Niagara Falls. Think of that water. And Jesus is saying he is more and he's better than that. He is like that refreshment and more. He says to the weary soul, come, come and drink. We'll look at 3 points this morning. The first one is Jesus offers life-quenching satisfaction and refreshment. Jesus offers life-quenching satisfaction and refreshment. Look at verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. We're on the last day of this feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the Feast of Booths. We've been in it for the last couple weeks. It was a 7-day feast, if you recall. The people will be dwelling in little huts made out of leaves to remember the wandering of the people of God during the time of Moses. But there's a ceremony that was taking place during the time of Jesus, and I want to try to create a picture in your head. It won't be a very good one. I'm going back to my youth group days, so you have to bear with me. But the priests during the ceremony, as they're up on the temple, on the steps and things, during each day of the feast, they would take a picture, and they would walk out in procession, and they would go back down to where there was a spring or a river, and they would take this pitcher of water, and they would fill it up. The people of God would be singing. They would be singing the Hallel Psalms. These are Psalms 113 to 118. They're just glorious praise songs. And they would have branches in their hands. There would be people over here with branches from the huts. There would be branches over here from people from celebrating the harvest. And they would be singing and praising God. And the priests would go back onto the temple. And different commentators say different things. They would either pour the water right on the altar or on the steps. And the people would just see and hear. They would just be singing, praising God for all of his works, all of his deliverance, looking at that water. Water was critically important at this time. They would do this each day of the feast, but on the great day, the last day, they would do it 7 times. You get to picture this procession, going back down to the river, getting some more water, going up and pouring it in. And so they were praying for rain. For one of the things they would do, they would be praying for rain. It was been a long summer, a long dry summer. They just celebrated the harvest, and they would be asking the Lord to fill the rivers, to fill the cisterns, to fill the springs with water again. But do you remember how God provided water to the people when they were wandering in the wilderness? From a rock. If you remember, they were grumbling and complaining, and there was no water in the desert. And they went to Moses, and Moses was at his wit's end with the people, and he goes and he seeks God, and God says, go to this rock and speak to it, and water will come out of this rock. Well, Moses is angry, and he actually strikes the rock. But out of this rock, water flows. So the people during this great feast are thinking, remembering, thinking of water, thinking of rain. They were looking back how God delivered them, sustained them. They were looking God to the future as well to provide for them. But there's also another thing they would be thinking about. They would be looking forward to an eschatological hope. Big word, right? Eschatological. It's thinking about the end times, where water symbolized life that would not just affect the land, but change people. That God and His truth would go out and cover the world like a river, and people's lives would be changed. I'll read a couple of them to you. They're from the prophets, if you're taking notes. One's from Zechariah 14, verses 8 to 9. The people would be thinking of this hope. On that day, on that future day, living water shall flow out of Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and His name one. They were looking for this day where this river would go out and cover the world. It's imagery talking about life. Another one you can write down is Ezekiel 47. It's a little long, but it says, out of the temple, water would come and would go and cover the area. And wherever that water would go, there would be living things. And wherever that water would touch, there would be trees and fruits and healing for the nations. And the people are praying, come Lord, give us this water. This is what we are longing for. Isaiah 43, another one for you taking notes. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And one more, Isaiah 55:1, he says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come. Come, buy and eat, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. There's this great day that they're looking for when God will come and just bless the peoples of the world with this living water. In the midst of this ceremony, in the midst of this feast, the people are praising and singing. Jesus stands up and he cries out, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. The people had to be astounded, because it's God who's bringing this water. And Jesus says, I'm Him. I am here. I am offering this life-giving water, this life-healing water to your soul and to your life. But it's for those who thirst. Those who are thirsty, He says, come to me. Those thirsting for wholeness. Those who are thirsting for peace of the soul. Those who are thirsting for healing. Those who are thirsting for relief from guilt, relief from shame. Those who thirst to belong. Those who thirst to be loved. Those who thirst to have purpose, to have direction. Those who thirst for comfort in the midst of missing the loved one who has passed on. Those who thirst for lasting joy. Those who thirst for an answer to death, for a broken heart, to start again. If you thirst for these things, to be in the presence of God, Jesus says, come and drink. And He's saying, trust me, believe me, follow me. He's using imagery. We often try to quench these thirsts in other ways, and it's just temporary. And Jesus saying, I'm offering eternal, satisfying, quenching water. It only comes through me. It reminds me a little bit of when Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria. He says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who gives it to you, who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he had given you living water. If you remember, there was a lady just trying to belong, trying to survive. She was a woman who had many, many men. And the guy she was with wasn't her husband, trying to find just belonging, peace, and just surviving life. And Jesus says, it's in me. In me. You're chasing life in all the wrong ways. Follow me. Trust me. So the people were looking for this future water to come. And in a tangible way, we see this water flowing from Jesus himself when he's died on the cross and pays for every one of your sins and mine sins. When he said it is finished and he yields up his life, the Roman soldier thrusts a spear into his side and water and blood flow out. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, and he says in the book of Revelation, and he says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. And in Revelation 22, he says, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take water of life without price come. Jesus quenches all those thirsts, all those desires of forgiveness, being rid of shame, being rid of guilt, wanting to belong. Jesus says, I have made you. I am for you. I have died for you. Drink from me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Find all your thirst satisfied in life in me. The second thing we see in this passage is Jesus quenches not only through his passion on the cross, but also by giving his people his spirit. He gives you his spirit as a gift, the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 38. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. There's no direct quote from the Old Testament that Jesus is referring to when he says, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he's simply explaining the thoughts and what's going on in all that Old Testament imagery that I read to you. That out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We've cited Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. Even Proverbs mentions it. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And in Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. You see, Jesus not only satisfies your thirst, he forgives you, but he gives you his spirit to be living water. You are now a pot. No matter how many cracks are in your pot, in your past life, that you have all these broken pieces of pottery, you are a pot, you are a vessel. And Jesus wants to put his spirit in you, his life-quenching satisfaction in you, that it would leak out of those cracks, that it would overflow your pot and affect those around you. Your life in Christ will make you different. And when people rub shoulders with you, when they get to know you, they should walk away wet with the refreshment of Jesus. You've probably seen the commercials or even experienced where there's someone standing by a mud puddle and a bus or a truck runs by and hits that mud puddle and it just covers them with water. As followers of Christ, we want to be something like that in a good way. Maybe think of it as a sprinkler in the summertime and kids jumping through the sprinkler. When they have fun and they're laughing and giggling, they're just enjoying the refreshment of that water. Your life should be spraying the waters of Jesus' love on people. They should be getting wet. If we're expressing love, if we're expressing joy, peace and patience, kindness, gentleness. It's refreshment. When somebody leaves your presence after a conversation, they should feel refreshed. Yes, that was good. That was good. Is that you? Is that you? Have you been overwhelmed by the grace and mercy of God in your life? It's truly grace like Niagara Falls. When you start to comprehend the height and the depth and the width of His love, oh, is it amazing grace? And let that affect others. Jesus gives you His Spirit to make people wet with His grace. Jesus gives you His Spirit to be used to quench the thirst of others. He gives you His Spirit. He gives you the Spirit. It's so much different than the Old Testament, which leads us to the third point, our third and final point. You who trust in Jesus have a more powerful and intimate walk with God through the Spirit than even Old Testament believers had. Look at verse 39. Now this He said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John goes on to explain that the water here represents the work of the Spirit being given in a new way after His glorification. Jesus lives, He dies, He resurrects, He ascends, He's glorified, He's ruling and reigning on high, and then Pentecost comes. In the book of Acts, as they're in the upper room, the Spirit comes down on His people and empowers them to go preach this good news, to go preach this living water to the nations. And the book of Acts is filled with this Pentecost. As the gospel goes out to the different people groups, the Spirit comes down on Jews and Gentiles all over the regions, thus signifying the Spirit's power in a new way for gifts of service and gifts of ministry. You who believe in Jesus have that Spirit in you. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and has given you powerful gifts for service. In the Old Testament, it was only for a few and for a special time. But Moses and the prophets looked forward to the day when the Spirit would come out and baptize all of God's people with power. And that is us. Today, you have gifts of service to use for this kingdom, living water flowing through you to affect the lives of those you touch. The Old Testament saints said that they had it, but it was just temporary and for a few. Now it's all of God's people. Jesus came to baptize with water and with the Spirit of God. And one other way, at least, it's different is that you have a closer intimacy with God. You have a closer walk with God than the Old Testament people. Now, they were saved the same way. They were convicted by the Spirit of God. They were regenerated by the Spirit of God to come to faith. But in order to sense the nearness of God, to draw close to God, they would go to the temple. They would go to the temple offering sacrifices. They would go for the feasts. They would go for the Day of Atonement. And only one person could enter the Holy of Holies, where God's special, gracious presence dwelled. The high priest, once a year, would go behind that temple and offer sacrifice. Now for us, after Jesus once and for all sacrificed, after He fulfilled all those things, that veil is torn. There's no longer a separation between God and His people, and He put His Spirit in you. That same Spirit that dwelt in the Holy of Holies is the same Spirit that dwells in you, and that is a staggering, humbling thought. He's with you. You're not alone. He's right there. It's also humbling because it should make you think about how you're living your life. God's right there in your midst. How are you glorifying Him? How are you enjoying Him? How are you making much of Him? Or do you just ignore Him as a stranger? For us who live in this time, for us who live in the time after Jesus' glorification, He gives you the Spirit of God to empower you and to walk in a close intimacy with God. It even says you are the temple of God. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jesus offers the dry and weary soul that seeks relief from sin and misery, living water, and he says, come. Come and drink. He offers life-quenching satisfaction and refreshment. He quenches not only through his work on the cross, he gives you his Spirit. You have a powerful, intimate walk with the Lord. Receive his living water through faith. Be done with sin. Be done with shame. Be done with thirsting after the things of the world and thirst after Jesus and be satisfied. Let it flow through you. You are a pot. No matter how cracked and broken you think you are a pot. Let him fill you with his Spirit that it would overflow and touch those around you with the living hope of Christ today. Receive him today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray your Spirit would take this truth and these words and bless your people. We are thirsty. Boy, do we try to fill it with many things. Sometimes we can't even think we can come to you. We've done something that's horrendous or we don't deserve it. But you say, come. Come and drink. Come and believe. Come and be filled and receive Christ. Receive his Spirit. Help us to believe. Help us to know. Help us to live in this wonderful, marvelous truth to God's glory. In Jesus' name, amen.